Welcome to Cartoonist Kayfabe. My name's Ed Piskor.
I'm Jim Rugg.
I'm Tom Scholey.
I'm Warren Bernard.
And it's a CGC snuff film, man.
Yes!
Where we cut Mad Comics number 10 from April 1954 out of its coffin. But first, Jimmy, what do you have?
Street Angel, Deadliest Girl Alive, available now from Image Comics. And heads up, everybody watching at home, we are down to the last couple hundred copies of this. So hopefully my next book to go out of print. You're looking at it right now. You can still order this through your comic shops or anywhere you buy books, anywhere books are sold. This is available while supplies last. You can also join me on patreon.com/Jim Rugg and see a lot of behind the scenes on Street Angel and how I make the comics I make at patreon.com/Jim Rugg.
Here's Jack Kirby, The Epic Life of King of Comics. It's the story of Jack Kirby's life told in comic book form, drawn with a pencil, just like Jack Kirby did. I also have the companion piece to this, Fantastic Four Grand Design from Marvel Comics. I told the story of the Fantastic Four from start to finish in one oversized volume. You can also check out my YouTube channel, Total Recall Show, or go to my Patreon at patreon.com. Just search Tom Scholey to see comics I'm currently working on.
We're going to have Small Press Expo again this year, virtually, September 18th. Virtual programming, virtual Ignatz Awards live streamed, www.smallpressexpo.com.
Red Room Comics in the Wild, murder on the dark web for fun and profit, sometimes using the implements that you see here in this fair video. Every issue that you see of Red Room Comics on the stands is a complete story. So if you see an issue, grab an issue, give it a read, you'll get a complete experience, and if you like it, go grab another. These comics are coming out on a monthly basis. The next issue is coming out in the first week or so of September. You could order these comics at Fantagraphics if you don't have a good shop nearby. Go to my link tree in the description below this video to get to the Fantagraphics site that way, and you could hit up my Patreon. I have the Free Comic Book Day comic completely for free on my Patreon. You could download the PDF there, or $3 will get you the archive to read all of the comics before they hit paper. Over 150 pages of stuff up there, and new strips every Tuesday. All right, man. One of my favorite comics, textbook for making comics, is the comic book Mad. But can't read it if it's stuck in a coffin.
Nope, we got to get it out of the coffin. And what better implements of destruction than Red Room implements?
Yeah, bitch.
That's it. All right. Curse those people who put you in here in the first place. There we go.
That's what you get, biatch.
Pop this bad boy out.
Need scissors. I feel like the surgeon's assistant.
Totally. Like passing the tools over. Let me see. Oh, that top one would be easy.
Well, I'm trying to see if there's a... Yeah, the top one I think is the way to go on this one. Okay.
All right,
now,
man.
This is the part.
Like, what is it? The moil?
Exactly.
Circumcise this motherfucker.
That's the other service we could offer: is send us your CGC book and we'll free it for you.
Oh, I thought you were gonna say circumcision. Fry them shits up afterward, man. It's like calamari.
All right, let's see.
And that scares me. I think you've been doing too much research for Red Room.
You'd be right.
Let me get rid of that piece. Ah, there we go. Okay.
Listen to it, man.
Yeah,
Basil Wolverton, he's screaming to get out.
Yeah, I know. So's Elder. And...
Wood.
Yeah. There we go.
Nice.
Isn't that better?
Excellent, man.
So I thought what we would do today, instead of just diving into this, I wanted to go through a couple of just a little bit of history of the lampoon of pop culture in comics, and give a couple of examples so that people can see that. Don't get me wrong, Mad Magazine, I love it. I bought one. I've got a bunch of others. It's revolutionary and all that kind of stuff, but it was most probably the ultimate part of an evolution that occurred. And why don't we go through a couple of pieces of that?
Let's do it, man.
All right. So first, why don't we start out with, let's go to the 19th century just for a minute. So here is Judge's Library. Puck had their equivalent version. This came out, I believe, monthly. And this one is all about playing poker. Now, they use these to not only lampoon the game itself, but they also used it to lampoon pretty much every ethnic group except for white Christians. And here on the front, we see Jakey Weinstein, all right, with the nose and the glasses and all of the stuff, and you're playing poker against this basically shiftless character.
Is poker a new game?
No, not in the least. It was very, very popular. I've actually have other books talking about different ethnic groups in poker in the 1880s. So it had been around for a long time by the time came along.
Just feels so random.
So, but they took different topics every month and made a magazine about that given topic. They did baseball. They picked on each and every, so they did one about the Irish, one about the blacks, one about the Jews. It didn't matter where in society you were, they went after you. And it didn't matter what the particular piece of pop culture was, they went after it. So Judge continued this, and here is 1928, and they're lampooning Liberty Magazine. And what they do is, and they actually do a very good job of lampooning everything down to the type fonts they use, the layouts of the pages. They lampoon some of the, like this is Eveready Batteries, they lampoon some of the ads that ran in there, and this feels very familiar territory.
Yeah, even the ad art, the illustration art even looks consistent with what we would see.
Right, exactly. So,
packages.
Right, exactly. And so, here's another ad that's lampooning cars. So this just gives you an idea. And all of this, if you were to pick up a Liberty magazine from 1928 and leaf through it, it would look exactly like this. Mm-hmm. Okay. So they also did Popular Mechanics. And for those of you familiar with Bruce McCall's work, this looks just like Bruce McCall's work on the cover of The New Yorker. And for those people that don't know the magazine, I don't know. That's a lampoon to me.
You chose a good mag, too, because the colors are real similar.
The colors are real similar,
yeah,
exactly.
You see the fonts being used, logos, same logo.
Right, exactly. And again, if you go through here, this is exactly the way Popular Mechanics looks in that day. Here, let me...
Yeah, we were looking through, Kurtzman's Trump magazine, and that's, even closer. This predates here. That even more closely.
So... you look at what they're doing, you look at the magazine, and this is what Mad was doing, but with other things in a different way.
Yeah, just kind of perfecting it.
Yeah, exactly. And so Ballyhoo magazine came along in the 30s, I think it started in 1930, and here jigsaw puzzles were very popular in the day, pop culture, and they made a jigsaw issue.
If you like the way we skewered poker, wait till we get our hands on jigsaw puzzles.
I'm thinking of fidget spinner jokes for when we get off the air here.
So, and in here, for instance, jigsaw pills for pale people. So they took it to, an nth degree, but they also lampooned the ads of the day. This is a lampooned ad for Plymouth cars, and this is the old department store, Bonwit Teller. So they were doing the same thing, and they did this all through the 1930s. And then there were, cartoons in here. Here we go. There's a big jigsaw. This is Russell Patterson, as a matter of fact.
That's a beautiful piece. Wow.
Oh, Russell Patterson did amazing work. That's a whole other show. So I wanted to give people, that's through the 1930s. In the 1940s, this guy comes along you might have heard of before. This guy by the name of Will Eisner. And so here are two tabloid sections, where over here on my left, they are lampooning Charles Atlas. And over here, they are lampooning Miss Rheingold, and the beer Rheingold always had a Miss Rheingold contest in New York for decades. And so here is, and if you did not see Ebony or see this above here, this looks like Mad Magazine.
Totally.
This looks like Mad comic books.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, he would have fit comfortably.
Very comfortable.
Within that pantheon.
And there are others that he did along these lines. I just picked two to bring an example. He didn't do it a lot, but when he did it really well, and he did it really like Mad.
Check this out, man. He's painting with duotone.
Right.
That's not a white zip on top of ink drawing, man. That's purely the chemical.
Right. And you go through and you look at just the little things that he's doing, and you see Will Elder in some of this
totally.
Stuff.
Okay? Yeah, I mean, this is Wally Woodish.
Right, it's very Wally Woodish. So, and, it goes to the inside, and it's a whole story about, the Miss Rheingold thing. But the main crux of it are these covers that he did that goes ahead and basically is totally mad comic book lampooning pop culture.
Yeah, that's cool. Rad as hell, man. It's, you know what's so interesting? Like, we always talk about, and he's known for, you know, getting the Spirit logo in different interesting ways. No idea that, like, it's, there's almost no point in a way. Just because it's past it anyhow.
Well, and then here you've got Ebony ripping this page off to go ahead and expose the logo down there.
Yeah. Yeah, they always figure something out. It's amazing that, like, week in, week out, you find different ways to do that. You know, sometimes more ornate than others. You know, these are two simple ones, but still.
Right.
It's an interesting treatment.
So this is the setup. So it's not that Mad is new, but this kind of gives you kind of the evolution of where this kind of view of the pop culture world in terms of lampooning it kind of was going on an evolutionary scale. And then these were the human beings, mad comic books, were the humans coming out of the primordial slime.
It's interesting to think about what piece of this formula, how it's configured for Mad Magazine, that it becomes like the iconic brand that we associate with this.
Yeah, even issue 10, I mean, you know, it's still a comic book. Still, you know, it's found its niche, like, for what it is, but it still is going to evolve. It still isn't even close to hitting the heights that it will. It doesn't do that until Kurtzman goes away, which is funny. To think about.
I think it was number 30 was the last, because he did the 23 comics then.
I think he did one or two issues.
Yeah, then 24 through 29, I think, were Kurtzman magazines.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't realize he went that far into the mags. Anyhow, man, like, so, classic issue.
Absolutely.
I foresee a time when we have, you know, 20 through 24 videos. For each of the mags.
You have to.
We did issue one. I don't think we did issue two yet.
No.
Okay, but...
You have to do more with the real comic book, okay?
Yeah, totally.
All right, so...
G.I. Schmo.
This is fantastic to me. You know, this is a Wally Wood strip, because the other thing that Kurtzman is known for is those war books, the liberal war comics of EC, and they were not glorifying...
No, not in the least.
...military fighting whatsoever. So when I cracked this open and saw G.I. Schmo, I couldn't wait to see how... just basically see what Kurtzman thinks about, you know, those other kinds of, like, war comics and propaganda films and stuff like this. And I think it's very clear when you read this strip.
Yes, and by the way, this is April 1954, and that's about when the shit hit the fan with the Senate subcommittee, and I think it was June they actually had the hearings on television. Oh, no, I'm sorry, it was April they had the hearings on television. So just as this was just about the time this was coming out, things were about to change.
Feels a lot like he tailors this story to Wood and Wood's talent as well.
I feel like,
you know,
he does
a bunch of beautiful women in there.
I think he does that with his guys.
Yeah,
you know, like he knows these artists. There's this, like, very syncopated Kurtzman rhythm where there's, like, the panel, like, every time you flip, you'll get to this panel with a girl saying the same stuff.
Yeah.
And it's just, like, it's like the Jim Brooks joke, like, do it once, it's okay, do it twice, it's funny, three times, funnier, fourth, not funny at all, 80th time, hysterical. Don't quite get the reference. Is it just that, like, these chicks are daffy? Like, is that the joke?
Well, one of the things, and it was World War II also, that the GIs were always being asked for chewing gum.
Ah, I see.
Okay, so now I love these two panels.
Yes.
All right? No, you don't. Eat hot lead. Sneak attack. Drink leaden death.
You can see in your mind's eye the Kurtzman version of this. You know, his pure drawing of it, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so I always love these two.
Yeah, and he's kind of making fun of just the machismo of
the,
it.
The stuff like Wally Wood is, like, genuinely into.
Yeah.
Look how much he is drawing.
Yes, no, there's a lot of drawing in this.
Just unstoppable buffoons fighting over love interests. I feel like, I wonder if that's like a little Terry and the Pirates or like those kinds of comics where there's like love triangles in the mid. It's like you got bigger things to worry about, but dude's still fighting over girls.
Well, and also these are communist girls. So that, you know, the... Here, oh comrade commander, are the Americaner Schweinhund, okay? So they're kind of mixing up the German stuff from a few years before with the communist stuff. And there's the, hey Joe, you got chewing gum.
this is one of my favorite pieces, man, where they're using gun butts to beat up this whole horde of guys.
Yeah, right.
He's using cigar butts, and when he runs out of that, he's like, there are more butts we can use. And then there's this, like, little dude that keeps trying to, like, fight him and, like, is punching her ankles and stuff. So they get a bazooka for that guy.
Yeah, right. Well, and also I love it. You know, look at all the bullet holes in these guys. All right.
Swiss cheese, man. And you know, just speaking to the sort of unstoppable, like, you know, Sergeant Rock, he's going to be in a comic next month, too. Don't you worry.
Yeah. Now, this is great. It's like, it's an enemy surrender. A huge Banzai retreat running away from G.I. Schmo. He's going after him with the butt of a gun. And of course, you know, the whole thing is the lampoon of the American hero as portrayed on the big screen.
Totally. Just running into, like, clear and present danger.
Right.
It's funny to think of this through the context of, like, present day, where you think G.I. Joe is a parody, and it's almost Baroness is in here, except, right, of course, 30 years before Baroness shows up.
You read about that stuff, and there are, like, you know, still old ladies, well, I guess probably dead at this point, but it wasn't that long ago where they would, you know, be able to talk about their old war experience, and a big part of it was, like, fucking enemy soldiers and shit, and, you know, like, getting them to fall in love with them and give up information.
Right.
It was part of the gig.
So, and here is the lampoon of the movie Shane. And then this is really interesting. Okay. Guaranteed by something housekeeping there, but it's not good housekeeping. And rated NG. I don't have my magnifying glass.
So this is the, what was the film?
The Hays Code.
Yeah, like all of that stuff. Mm. So we're starting to get rated movies and things in the midst of the Senate subcommittee shit. So it's like, you know, over rating your shit.
That's a very Kurtzman-esque drawing. You know, the same character there on... Mm-hmm.
Yeah, hunched over.
It feels like that body line, which you can see the Kurtzman in that.
That's the thing. Like, you know, he does these very detailed roughs for the guys to follow, and sometimes the guys stick pretty close to it, but just put their finish over top. I mean,
John Severin on the art on this one.
Yeah, and Severin doesn't naturally draw this way. Like, that's an inked Kurtzman piece there.
Yeah, right.
I do love, like, his cowboy characters, the supporting characters around them. They feel like old actors, you know, like the supporting actors that would have some character.
Yeah, exactly.
It feels like Severin really nails several of those types.
I believe Jack Palance is in Shane, and we'll see Jack Palance show up in a couple of pages.
So here we go.
There he's right there, chilling with that catcher's mitt face.
That's pretty good.
I forgot what... He was like in his 60s or 70s. He was on an award show and he flopped down to do one arm push ups.
I was there, man.
City Slickers.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's right. That's right.
I was there, man.
I shit bigger than you. So this is, you know, great stuff.
And this is like, this is a hard. So, like, when you see this gunfight happen, it's just like, what? They're like flopping around. Like, what is it? And it turns out that Shane put oil in his own gun by accident while he was putting glue on the other guy's gun, and he's got a little dab of glue still on his pointer finger, so his gun is fucked up, and he finally, like, gets it to come off, it falls, and through a comedy of errors, shoots the guy. I mean, that's, like, hard to do in comics.
That's a very specific series
of events. Oh, look at the Hebrew they put in here.
Yeah, I was curious about that. That feels real weird.
I don't know what it says. And I always love these.
The house ads.
Oh, yeah. The house ads were always... They did some of the best house ads, bar none. So let's see. Here we go. Face on the floor. Jack Davis.
With the very first appearance of Basil Wolverton in MAD, Kurtzman and Wolverton, you know, had some connection with the Stan Lee books where they would do one-pagers, man. Powerhouse Pepper, Hey Look.
Hey Look, right, yeah.
So they knew of one another, and of course Basil's on the West, while the rest of the print industry is in New York City, so it's not like the easiest thing.
Right.
This line work from Davis reminds me of, like, a Humbug, you know, as he gets further along, especially with, like, the yellow, you know, like the one color stuff, but it's really detailed line work.
It's also a thin pen, so, like,
that's what I mean.
He'll use brush and stuff, like, on his main focal point, but, like, this is, like, the first time he really fucks with this shit.
Yes.
And you see, he evolves into this.
It's incredible. You know, it's so detailed, the backgrounds, again, with all these characters. Wild amount of drawing.
The writing here is fantastic because it's a rhyming rhythm.
Right, it's a rhyming rhythm, and then to break that down into this level of humor, yeah, this is just great. And Davis was another one who could really draw.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, well suited to this humor stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Once again, now, Kurtzman made me laugh out loud with the G.I. Schmo with the bazooka gimmick.
Yes,
like,
right.
I really did read that, and I laughed. But almost all this other stuff, I might put, like, a light smile on my face. And I would include this in that mixture. It's just a different brand of humor that ain't for me, man.
Yeah, this one felt a little more dated than some of the stuff we've looked at of his.
And there is Basil Wolverton. And this is one of the ones that made me laugh. Okay.
It's pretty crazy.
Woman Wonder. I mean, it. And I'll show you one of my fave panels. But, that's just great. So I'm sure they had to go ahead and chip this page or either get something from him and paste it on somehow or ship the page out. It doesn't really matter.
3,000 miles in between Jack Davis and Basil Wolverton.
Basil Wolverton. It's a great piece, too.
Yeah, super cool.
And then Woman Wonder. Well, Bill Elder, what else can you say?
Let's get into some of the chicken fat here.
Even signing his name backwards, I assume reflecting the Wonder Woman being switched.
Yes, and also with the little feet on it, okay, running away.
There's a blackjack with feet and dice with feet. Like, what? It's fantastic.
And I love this because it's not what you think.
Right.
Okay, so here it is, trying to get a smooch, crunch, 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 and oh, gee, it's Wonder Woman that is being the aggressor here and crunching out.
This is a piece that cracked me because it's all verbal, where she's looking for a place to change into her uniform.
Right, yes.
Super duper playing the hits, right, Jimmy? Super duper man is using that telephone booth. So she has to run and get changed in her glass airplane. And this dude's like, yes, your glass airplane.
Uh-huh. It's on your private transparent glass robot plane. Yeah. And just, I'm sorry. This is what made me laugh.
Yeah, that's okay. That is funny.
I just, because you see, and of course she's oblivious to the whole thing.
Exactly.
All the chicken fat here too, with all the different spying devices, all the glasses.
Yeah, right.
See exactly what she's doing. Even the keyhole and the doorknob.
Just carrying dominoes around. And it's pointing out dumb shit, like the fact that she has an invisible plane, but it's not like she's invisible.
Right.
So you see her through it. Like, what is that?
I love this panel.
Yes, she's on exactly.
Record. Incredible.
Yeah. So they were spinning around.
Don't slam the glass door of the glass airplane. That's very important.
Yes.
Yeah, coming out of the spin and having your upside down panel.
Yeah, right.
It's very clever. You know, thinking about every panel as they go through.
There's real world stuff in that too. There are those gauges in the cockpit that shows like the level, because like there's a thing that happens when they go in the clouds, like the plane could flip upside down and they like don't even
know it. They wouldn't even know it, right? Yeah. Well, and like you said, you shouldn't slam the door. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Very important. When you hear it two times, man, you know something's coming up.
But Chekhov's glass door.
These two panels did it for me.
Me too.
I broke out laughing there. So,
part of what made me laugh was I think that like maybe a little kid wouldn't even think about it.
No. That you've got to be of a certain look.
Doesn't this feel like CeCe Beck? Like she's like that should have the Shazam guys.
Yeah, sure.
And then once again, let's play some more hits.
Yeah, we got Bat Boy.
Oh, and this is great. By Pluto, by Mickey Mouse. There's nothing on this island but that cave up ahead. I wonder if I can get a room aboard in that cave.
And then it has enticements.
Yeah, right. Enter more of his chicken fat. Yeah. This is great. Oh, look. So, this is actually really funny. So, this is Beria, who was the head of the secret police for the Russians. And I believe it was around this time that Stalin died in 1953, so right after that, Barry was taken out by Khrushchev.
I see.
So that's why Barry's bag is there.
Look, he's walking out of the frame
here. Yeah, isn't that great?
Walking into the panel border.
There's a lot of fourth wall stuff that happens in these Mad Comics.
Well, plus this is great, and I quit this story until it makes more sense.
Mm-hmm. He's walking.
And there's like a piece on Mickey, on Spillane, or something like
that. Yeah, right, Mickey Spillane, sure.
Get her, Mickey. Get her, Spillane.
And I love this one. Smith Brothers cough drops. I'm sorry. So that, you know, if you think about what we looked at in Judge and stuff like that, mm-hmm. previous and what Eisner was doing, they were taking that whole thing to this other completely different level. That,
yeah, I mean, when Mad becomes a magazine, some of those comparisons become almost one-to-one with those things you showed us.
Yeah.
Dispatches the guys with her Gap piece, spelling out John Hancock, and then this is like, this is the shit that we're exposing Kurtzman, man. She calls her airplane, but it's already jagged because she busted it up.
Yes.
And it cuts her to shit. And ruins her face or something. Like her last charm. Like, she lost her lasso. She lost her wrist bracelets, man. Right. So all she has left is, like, her wily charms. And that goes away when the glass plane comes and rips her to shreds. And to add insult to injury, man, Batboy is just going to, like, he's making wine.
Yeah, right.
Like, just blood and guts and gore. And he kicks her ass and puts her in the kitchen. Little did you know that her, you know, Steve Adore,
yeah, right,
is Bat Boy.
Right, right.
So that's his alter ego.
Yep.
Her alter ego is Woman Wonder. They live happily ever after.
Yep. Not exactly a woke concept as in terms of an ending, but that's the way it is. I like this guy sitting up.
I think that's like yet another child of theirs. It's like that little,
I like the little Wonder Woman there.
Puts a little her brother on fire.
Puts her brother on fire, right, exactly.
Shit, man. Parents would complain about that kind of imagery in the 90s. Can't imagine 1953, 54.
So there we go. Extra money. Get into radio television.
And that's not a parody ad.
No.
Yeah, right, yeah. So there it is. Mad number 10 with some contextual background.
Always fantastic when we can liberate yet another comic from its plastic coffin.
I agree.
Especially one that good.
That's goddamn right, man. Comics are meant to be read. Kayfabers, like, follow, subscribe to the YouTube channel. Hit the bell. We'll notify you when new vids are available. Jimmy, what's out there?
Street Angel, Deadliest Squirrel Live, racing towards out-of-print status. You guys at home can make that happen. If you already haven't picked up a copy, do so quickly and join me on patreon.com/jimrug.
Check out Jack Kirby, The Epic Life of the King of Comics, Fantastic Four Grand Design, and my YouTube channel, Total Recall Show.
Check out Small Press Expo, September 18th, www.smallpressexpo.com.
Red Room Comics in the Wild. Get them at your local comic shop. Every issue completely self-contained. If you need to order them, hit up Fantagraphics. Go to my link tree in the description below this video. You could also hit the Patreon to read the comics online if you want to read them before they hit paper. What else, Jimmy?
Subscribe to the Cartoonist Kayfabe e-newsletter at the links below this video. You can also find Cartoonist Kayfabe t-shirts and merchandise at the links below this video.
Give them their merchant orders, Jimmy. We'll be on our way.
Read more comics.
And unslab them.